Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello, everyone. This is Peter Paul Berzola and the new Shadow. We're getting our act together with the software, so hopefully that, and we're trying a little different thing here, hopefully all these glitches resolve. We've got a slight problem here, so we'll bear with hope that wasn't too loud on your ears. We still got a slight glitch. Anyway, I wanted to thank all you people for bearing with. And here's a call-in number, 1-347-633-9620. So if you've got some questions or comments or suggestions, I'd love to hear from you. Also, if you can't get through because it's only a half-hour show, it's very draining. To do it twice a week, and people want me to expand it to an hour, but so we're still working on that. I've got to get the energy level up. I'm not a teenager anymore. Go to my, you can email me at pverzola@gmail.com or amicus, amicusveritas, at sbcglobal.net. We have another one up there, Swamp Fox, but I forgot which server it's on. We have a couple. Also, we do have stuff up on YouTube. We did cover Bay Area Patriots peaceful protest here in San Francisco last Friday, which was sponsored by concerned citizens who were peacefully protesting, raising questions that have never been answered about Obamacare and the failure of politicians, career politicians like Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein-Blum, Pete Stark, Lynn Woosley, Nancy Pelosi, and a few others, George Miller. It's just surprising how many of these people claim to be moral and Catholic, like Pelosi, Miller, Stark isn't. And I think there's one other one. Boxer and Feinstein-Blum claim to be Jewish. We don't know if they practice. Interestingly, Dianne Feinstein went to a Sacred Heart school, a Catholic school, and mother was Russian Orthodox, so I don't know how she can claim Judaism, but she does, and she claims a lot of other things. Personally, this did come up at that Bay Area protest. This is the garbage truck coming. Unfortunately, they're not taking away some of the politicians who have created such chaos in our country and want to perpetuate it. Forgot my thought there. Sorry about that. But what's going on is these people will not meet with concerned citizens, and these people aren't coming in there with brick bats, rotten tomatoes, baseball bats, and none of the thug stuff that was done at other peaceful protests, or protests that erupted into verbal brawls, like around the country, the one, Barney Frank. I'm surprised. You know, Barney Frank is probably the gayest guy in Congress. He ran a male prostitution, a boy prostitution ring. I don't know why they keep electing this guy. You know, talk about morality? Uh-uh. Well, unless there's no morality, it's a convenient thing. And, of course, maybe his power structure, his power base is his sister, Ann Lewis, who is a big honcho at the Democratic National Committee, and maybe that's where his protection comes from. His fellow pedophile, another guy, Gary Studs, with a two D's, recently died. He was also chastised, or he wasn't removed from Congress or expelled, but he was also involved in this male prostitution, page boy scandal, that's what it was. Page boy scandal. So I got to get my facts right. And if I'm wrong on anything, feel free to call and give me, you know, I will gladly correct any mistakes. We don't harm anybody with specious statements. We try to deal with fact. We tell it like it is, like it was, and how it should be. We're hearing a lot of propaganda from the radical left, fronting for ACORN and some of these other organizations, about no medical care for 47 million people. fact, Geraldo, I don't know where he gets his facts, said that we have 50 million uninsured people. Now, to Fox's broadcasting's network's credit, they are running regular with various people and reputable journalists, real journalists, like the guy from Wall Street Journal, who's examined a lot of this stuff and wading through this 1,000-page bill. And there's several bills, by the way. So there's several 1,000-page bill piles of paper, which is really confusing. Leave it to, you know, these guys are worse than Philadelphia lawyers who put this stuff together, whoever put it together, or maybe it was a committee of the Presidium. This is the type of thing that the old communist bureaucrats would do. But anyway, he broke it down, and with all the various services, and, you know, there are about maybe 5 million people who are uninsured because they don't bother to get insured to look for insurance. They make enough money, but they don't. They think they're like teenagers. They're indestructible and never get sick. And they, you know, they want to live their life with their BMW and some of them their Coke spoons and you know, their trips to Europe and eating at the fancy, expensive restaurants where steaks are $50. That kind of thing. They want that lifestyle. That's their privilege. And so you know, but they're included in this gross figure. But what is interesting is the federal government. And I brought this up before. In after World War II, in 1946, in the Truman administration, there was a bill passed through Congress called Hill-Burton, and it was Senator Lester Hill from Alabama, and this ought to be news, or the senators from Alabama should know this, and then Senator Burton from Ohio. He's not related to the Burtons of California. That's a different, these guys are a different part of the Democratic Party's sleazy leadership. But anyway, that every year, money, billions of dollars, goes into public health and community health clinics. Also, the HUD, U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, gives community development block grants part to every community that applies under federal guidelines. And a lot of this money, more and more of this money is being wasted, but some goes to the recipients account for it, and they do what they say they're going to do when they make the application for the money. But these money goes to these community clinics. And get this, there is a division, an agency of the Department of Health and Human Services called Health Resources and Service Administration. They fund their over 6,800 health clinics in 4,000 communities throughout the United States, all the states, including Puerto Rico, which is not a state. And there's also, I didn't know this, I should have known it, a National Health Service program for medical students. There's over $200 million that goes into that. These are loans, and this was something I didn't know, but I was proposing that they, when they get the money and they finish school and qualify as medical personnel, doctors, nurses, that sort of thing, they have to put in from 2 to 4 years of service. They do get money to live on. They're not going to be driving BMWs or Porsches or any of those fancy SUVs. And so there's money for those type of scholarship, not scholarships, but grants or loans to get these people through med school. Personally, I think that we should encourage, money should be put aside to give these guys pre-medical training, housing, and, you know, living expenses if they put in, you know, 3 to 5 years service. Plus, they get the grants to live on, you know, won't be living in an SRO, single-room occupancy. And, of course, you know, a lot of these guys, their wives put them through. Thank God for women there. I know many doctors whose wives sacrificed, even had babies, to put their husbands and boyfriends through law, not only through law school, but through med school. So we've had that too. Again, if you want to call in, it's 1-347-633-9620. Now, the Health Resources Services Administration is in Rockville, Maryland, which is where a lot of our government agencies are, and their budget in fiscal year 2008 was $7 billion. And they served about 23 million people. These are the type of services that are there. And I'm surprised that these media people, or maybe they know, or just don't put it on, or their handlers, or some of them have handlers. This is the coverage. Medical and behavioral and oral services, like if you need some dental care. And they serve the uninsured and the underinsured. And the idea, the program aims were to relieve pressure on emergency rooms, because as I said repeatedly, my own experience when I worked with the feds, that they discourage people from coming to the emergency room unless you got a heart attack or you got bullet and stab wounds, or you're about if you're a woman about ready to have birth or having problems, and they refer you to the outpatient clinics, which is what this money goes to from federal government every year, and it's part of the law. And also, there's a concern, and people say, well, illegal aliens are undocumented aliens. They're called immigrants, which is not true. They're here because they need money to send their folks back home, because some of our companies have so meddled in their economies and messed up things that a lot of these people would prefer to stay in their home countries, as there are people here who wish they would and could. So that's the idea of the community clinics. And they do the job, and if they can't, they're not going to perform open-heart surgery, but they will refer the patient to a public health clinic like San Francisco General, Cook County, or Bellevue, I think in New York, just to give you an idea. So, these services are out there, and, a lot of people just aren't aware of them, and we listen to, this administration. I mean, don't they do their homework? I mean, they're in charge. They see the federal budget. How could they make these statements of all these uninsured people and there's no services? And the biggest canard of all, when I was a child in those days, back in the 50s, you had your tonsils out if you got an infection. Now they don't. They encourage you to keep your tonsils. When Obama keeps talking about, the doctor will refer you to get your tonsils out. They don't do that, unless the guy's a quacker who wants money. There are a few guys that do that, yes. But medical practices are becoming more and more referring people to alternatives, trying to wean them off of drugs, and they encourage discussion with the patient so they get an idea what's going on with the patient, whether there's something that it's not down in the medical records, or the doctor isn't seeing when he looks at the patient in the given amount of time that he has allocated. So, there's got to be this communication, and I think this younger group of doctors and nurses that are coming out, even some of the older ones, encourage doing what the old country doctor used to do. And so medical science, medical practice is turning around. And I'm not talking about professional lobbying groups like AMA, and, of course, AARP is connected to, I think, Penn Life Insurance. So, there's that scandal. And they brought it on themselves. They got no sympathy for them. They got what they deserve. They'll get what they deserve. And, if they don't clean up their act, then they deserve to go down the sewer. And, of course, a lot of senior citizens are concerned. One of the things that happened, I encourage you to go to our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, AMICUSVERITAS. We are putting up the video clips that we did of this peaceful demonstration August 15th, and not of nice color. One of the claims, one of the outrageous statements made by people like Pelosi, I mean, I don't know, her brains must be addled or something, or I won't say what people are referring to about certain pleasure habits, but accusing people of being Nazis and racist and all that sort of thing. The only word they did use was homophobe, but that's coming, because a lot of, even in California, people are beginning to realize that millions of dollars have been wasted on these AIDS programs, which only go to the politicians connected to setting up the programs. For instance, AIDS hospices, what they've done, at least here in San Francisco, which is one of the hot spots, no pun intended, they buy a house, set up a bogus nonprofit, and when all the AIDS patients die, they get to keep the house. That's the deal, unless there's new patients coming in. But they will always have control, and they will always control the money and how it's spent, and then you see Porsches and sometimes BMWs parked outside their houses or parked outside the hospice. There are some decent people who are out there, the Mother Teresa types. There are too few of them, I'm afraid, to say. I wish there were more, but excuse me, I have a slight cold. Who do try to help people have AIDS, HIV, or who have been contaminated by a partner or people that they've come in contact with. Excuse me. But, you know, there's a lot of scandals there. And I had a HUD official tell me when we were doing research, trying to get accountability here, that a lot of these AIDS programs are just bogus, and they're designed to fund community politicians who in turn vote for politicians who handle the money when it comes in to the cities from the federal government. So this is part of the problem. And, of course, we have the media morons who know what's going on, who have been told what's going on, and they blow people off and say, well, I don't have time for this, or you're homophobic, or you don't know what you're talking about, even when documents have been brought to people. We've had one of the big scandals in affordable housing is abuse of senior citizens, retired military veterans, and children. There has been rape. A 77-year-old woman whose late husband was a veteran of World War II, Bataan Corregidor. She was maced while she was bending over to pick up her mail. And the goon, it was so much of an uproar that they had to get rid of this goon and send him back to the Philippines or whatever. But these are the things that go on. People are harassed. Children, they cover up children who have been sexually molested. And some of these innovative housing was one of the places. And we finally, there was enough pressure put on the funders at HUD and the city to decertify, defund, and dismantle innovative housing. And we'll put those documents up because there were court cases, which are not reported. One of the reasons things are not reported in the media is because we're finding out that various homosexual, lesbian, NAMBLA, lobbying groups or so-called journalist associations, you know, these are the grandchildren of, political grandchildren of Ernest Röhm, the guy who brought Hitler to power and said he was a homosexual activist. He's the guy who's the modern founder of open gays and lesbians, more gays. That's the subject of lesbians in Nazi Germany. Very few people have looked at it. But he had an army of nearly 300,000. And you've heard of the Night of the Long Knives back in the mid-30s when Himmler got together with Hitler and the industrialists and finally and the general staff, the German general staff, and decided that this guy was too big of a threat and he was too big of a scandal and it's time to eliminate these people, which they did. But this is where that goes. And we'll get into that another time. You know, we're putting things together because of the software glitches and most of it's resolved, I hope. And got some great pictures. And for those of you people who are awaiting Brigadier Ingalls' interview or parts of it, he was the last commanding general up in Pakistan and the Northwest Frontier and Afghanistan. And he did. He was retired, and he came to San Francisco and became the honorary consul, diplomatic consul for Pakistan. And he was quite prestigious. He had a lot of prestige. Went to Sandhurst, which was Britain's West Point. And his classmate was David Niven, the famous actor. And also, David Niven is interesting. A lot of these British actors who were over, in fact, a lot of Hollywood actors, including Ronald Reagan, Clark Gable, Jimmy Stewart, one of my favorites, all volunteered for the military. I mean, you don't see that today with these some of these people who are running their mouths and running around, you know, in their Porsches and that sort of thing and snorting their coke and drinking the most expensive wine and all that sort of thing. But, of course, there are some people who are generally concerned about whether we should be in certain places, and that's a legitimate expression of their political rights. But there are these others who are just big phonies, and people ought to recognize that. But General Ingalls, Brigadier Ingalls, I always get corrected, we did the interview, and he did say that Britain had lost four major campaigns up there. So I don't know what Gordon Brown, the British Prime Minister, is thinking. If he's had any military experience or knows military history, especially Britain's, because it's so recent, and they, of course, had ruled India for nearly 300 years, almost 300 years. But 1948, when they, in fact, in this month, was when Earl Mountbatten, Admiral Mountbatten, the late uncle of Queen Elizabeth, was the viceroy, and he went over there to preside over the giving India independence, and then it was the battle over Pakistan. The Muslims wanted their own country, and then of course you had the Bangladesh thing. It's a fascinating history, and I will get into some of it, and since we get these tapes worked out. But I encourage people to go to our website. Also, we're doing the multimedia thing. The paper will resume. I've been ill and recovering. I think I am. And we're getting contributions. We're all volunteers, civic volunteers, and we try to communicate with other groups. And, of course, there's some egos out there, and you got to deal with that in any group, whether you're left or right or center or just a concerned citizen. But remember, you've got to sort through some of this stuff. It's just, government grants and government federal laws and regulations, they're simple, easy to read, black and white. If you don't have a law library, in California, they're all over the place in every county, and the law schools do allow citizens to come in when they don't disrupt the students' study. You can go to your public library whenever that's open and just go to the desk where the government documents are and ask for the Code of Federal Regulations, and I think it's Book 41, and United States Code, USC. So you can check these things out, the public health laws, and they're updated every year, and there are supplements that come down. Also, the Congressional Record, if you want to wade through that. But the most concise thing in plain English, which an eighth grader could read, is in the Code of Federal Regulations, and you receive these things. And they're there. So, a lot of these are just red herring. And it's interesting, the word red herring comes from the pre-Civil War period. When the slaves were escaping, they were pursued by bloodhounds. So what the slaves used to do, they'd do one of two things, or both. They would pour, if they could afford it or could get it, they would pour pepper over their tracks so when the dogs sniffed their tracks, they would, that pepper would get in their nostrils and that would disable the dogs. They would also drag a herring across their tracks. Now, you can see this, there's a great spy movie with William Holden, and it's true, it's called The Counterfeit Traitor. Holden played an American who decided to emigrate to Sweden and engage in the oil business, and he got turned. Sweden was neutral in World War II. They hadn't fought a war since the 17th century, which is very interesting. At one time, Sweden was the major military power on the continent of Europe, and Peter the Great, somebody I admire, the great Russian Tsar, defeated him at the Battle of Pultova in the 17th century. Charles XII was the last great Swedish warrior king. But Sweden had ore and all that, and everybody, all the spies, the Nazis and the British and the Americans were operating in Sweden because it was close to Nazi-occupied Europe. But it's a great film, and it's been reissued on DVD. I'd recommend for people who like intrigue and true military and spy stories, I recommend that film. But you will see how he tried to escape from the pursuing Nazi trackers and their dogs, and they poured pepper across his track. So that's where, it's an old practice. And I don't know if people escaping from prisons or those who think they can escape are doing that today. Incidentally, PBS, Lehrer report, McNeil's dead or retired on PBS, did an excellent news segment last night, and it's probably on the web, on the prison situation in California. It's ready to no pun intended, blow up because it's overcrowded. There's a lot of problems, and there are people who have been railroaded into prison by corrupt, sometimes incompetent local prosecutors, rigged juries, and morons in the media who cover up a lot of things and mold public opinion to send these people to prisons, especially in these homosexual cases. The Steve Neri case is one of them. We'll get into more of that because we have irrefutable documents, and there was a film made and some other things. And you just think of what the cost is. California has got to cut $1 billion out of their prison budget. And, these people an estimated 40,000 are supposed to be released, and these people are unprepared to come back into a civilian life. What are they going to do? A lot of them don't have training. Their homes have been dislocated. Their families have been torn apart. Employers don't want to touch them. And so what happens? They go on welfare. They have to get Medicaid, all this sort of thing. The dislocation is incredible. It's not something we can ignore, nor should we ignore. Even worse, we've had three cases and one foreign case. An Australian sailor was involved in a brawl down in San Diego, and we'll get into his fate. But we've had, and then there's the Dennis Smith, the U.S. Marine, who was accused of raping this Filipino young woman, and turned out that she recanted. I don't know if he's still in the U.S. Marines. There's certainly controversy. But the papers over here, especially the Gay Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle, which is controlled by gay lesbians and NAMBLAs that work there, were ready to hang this guy based on little or no information. And we've had this Marine veteran, I think it's 10 years, railroaded into prison down in the California State Prison down in Southern California based on false testimony, a rigged trial, and he finally, a California State Appellate Court, finally freed him. So, and then, of course, the only thing these guys have to look forward to is in California, unlike a lot of other states, they can sue and get $100 a day for illegal and unlawful imprisonment. So, that's not going to bring back, especially if you're a young kid like Steve Nary. And go to the website, N-A-R-Y, Stephen Nary, and look up Jack Cashel. He is the son of his father was a late policeman, dead. And he researched the case independently on the local level and some things, but he didn't get into the federal court or the U.S. Supreme Court filings or anything like that or what really happened on the Navy base. He talked to people who were involved in the Kangaroo Court trial. Well, just fascinating. And the book is called What's the Matter with California? I also want to bring up before my time is up, the clock's ticking, is Art Burnclaw, who is an executive volunteer with Veterans for Constitutional Law. He's on the web. His site's on the web. They have helped veterans get the benefits that the veterans have been illegally denied and also to get legal representation. And his group needs money. They have all of them have been volunteers, and they have worked for years to try to get veterans their legal rights respected and the money that is owed them. He also exposed some corrupt Veterans Administration people in Georgia who were ripping off funds intended for veterans, and he finally exposed them, and there was a federal trial, and these people are out of there. But there are problems in other federal Veterans Administration hospitals and clinics across the country. The other thing is that at the August 15th Bay Area Patriots protest, several veterans, including a couple of blacks, showed up, and they're opposed to Obamacare. So this business about we're Nazis. The other thing is some of the people who were at the Bay Area Patriots were people of Jewish heritage. I don't know if they practice, but a few of them that I know, their relatives survived World War II, the concentration camps. So for Nancy Pelosi to call those people Nazis is like peeing on them. It's just outrageous, and she should retire. Go retire to her assets, and there are a lot of questions as to how she acquired those. But anyway, enough. I encourage you to go to the websites, email me if you have questions, comments, criticisms. I don't always like criticisms, but as Churchill said, I don't always like to be told, but I am willing to learn. So I want to thank you for listening, and if you're viewing the YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, I encourage you, as soon as we get the rest of the software worked out, that problem, there'll be more up there. It'll be interesting, and we'll refer you to other things. A lot of good films out there that are entertaining as well as informative and fairly accurate. So, again, this is Peter Paul Brizola and The New Shadow. Thank you for listening, and we'll be working on some other surprises and informative interviews and things in the near future. So, signing off for now. Thanks for listening. Oh, shit. Okay.
Long Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Peter Paul Brazoa with the new channel. Apparently, our team has disappeared for the moment. Anyway, I want to thank you for bearing with me. We've lost last week's show because of the computer glitch. And, of course, my railing against technicians are human. Anyway, we've been very busy trying to upgrade and there it is. Campbell. Walk to the Campbell. Yeah. Thank you.